beautiful friends. Welcome to the Arise to Life podcast, where we share real and raw conversations about our sometimes crazy, but always beautiful kind of lives. I'm Madison.
Hey, it's Jill.
It's me, Sarah.
And hey, it's Ashlyn, and we are so excited that you're joining us today. Our desire is to encourage every girl in every season to arise to the abundant life that is waiting for her. Whether you're wrestling your toddlers or having a cup of coffee, we're here to come alongside of you and share the ups and downs of our faith, friendship, and everything in between. Hey everyone, welcome back to episode 14. It has been a long break, and we're going to give you just a little bit of a life update to kind of show you why our break was so long. A lot has changed for all of us in the last, well, most of us. Madison's still...
I'm just here. Yeah. She's just trucking right along.
Madison and JD are doing awesome things here at the camp, but they're still where they were before. But, Sarah?
We moved back to Long Lane, so that's exciting. My family opened up a business, and we moved back to help them. And now I get to do ministry alongside them, so that's exciting.
That's awesome, Ash.
We moved to camp. I don't remember what the last update was in June or July, but we were in the process of it, but now we're here full-time, and so that's a big change for us, but it's going really well so far, so.
Yeah, and I am 22 weeks pregnant now.
Yay!
So I was barely pregnant the last time I recorded, but wasn't announcing it yet, but it has been a rough ride. I have been sick. Sick. I don't know if you know this or not, but when you're 38 and pregnant, you're considered geriatric. So it's been a wild
ride. So now we call Jill Jerry.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. If you ask Sarah what I've been up to, she'll say, well, she's old and pregnant, and that's about the only update she'll give. But it has been a busy season for all of us, but we are so, so excited to be back recording, and we have a message on our hearts that we're really excited to share with you today. So, Madison, why don't you read? We have a scripture that we want to read first, and we'll just kind of have a conversation about this scripture.
Okay, James 3, 1 through 12 says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water."
I don't know. I read that scripture and just felt so much conviction. And so today we just want to talk about our words and how important they are. And we've all heard that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But we all know that's not true, because we've all been hurt by words. And I think most of us can think about the time in our life where we felt our first wounding, and there are probably words attached to it. And so the first thing that stands out to me in the scripture is he talks about how not everyone should be teachers because they're judged more harshly. And it's just showing that we are accountable for the words that we speak. And in Matthew 12:36, it says, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give account of on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken." Who wants to go first giving account of every word that they've spoken? So as I think of that, like the empty words or idle words, in another version it says, I think about, okay, well, what would an idle word be considered, right? Like what does that mean? And then I go to Ephesians 4:29, where it says, Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So really, an idle word is anything that doesn't encourage, build someone up, or help someone, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, words make us, if we're being honest. They've made me who I am. Like, I can think of a specific moment as a child when a boy made fun of me on the playground, and then it was like just kids being kids, but that's where my self-image started. Yeah. That's where it started wounding me right there.
Right.
And like, so they built me, and so words, the sticks and stones, like, that's crap. Really.
Yeah, it's bogus. It's a lie that the enemy, you know, wants us all to think our words don't matter, but they matter so much.
I was listening to a podcast the other day, and it was Chris Valentin, and he talked about, like, if we look at an accountability partner, we usually think of them as someone who helps us not do wrong things. But he said, what if we had accountability partners that helped us keep account for our abilities? Mm-hmm. And he said, so, like, we always talk about speaking life into them, helping them realize that when they're not doing right things, that, like, God created you for so much more. Like, he says this about you. He says this about you. So just whenever it talks about if they're not building others up, then don't speak.
Yeah.
So when you said that, it made me think of that.
Yeah, that's good. And so not only do we try not to, like, you know, I think of gossiping, lying, swearing, criticizing, boasting, like, all of those things essentially, for the most part, tear people down, right? But not only are we not supposed to tear them down, we're only supposed to say the things that build them up and encourage them and make them better.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, how, you know, a challenge that I think of is, how can I do that to a friend or even someone that's not a close friend today? Like, how do I build someone up? How do I encourage them?
And it is challenging because I'm not, I'll just be honest, my atmosphere changes my words. So I can be in a room where I'm intimidated by people and I say things that I wouldn't say in a room with the four of you, you know? And so I can be aware of my atmosphere, and that's really challenging. Like, that should challenge us to think of how we are edifying, or if we're edifying, in those moments when we're uncomfortable, you know?
Something came to my mind, and it even says it in my commentary, but we're talking about what we say, but it's also important what we don't say.
Yeah.
Like, to use, like, our words, you've probably, like, typed out a text message, and then the Holy Spirit's like, put on the brakes, right? And so that's part of the maturity with our words and us speaking life, is, like, realizing there's going to be times where maybe you even have the upper advantage, or you have something that's good to say, but it, or that's correct, but it's not the right time. It's not going to do good to speak it in that moment. And so not only are our words powerful in that way, but it's also super powerful to know when to hold your tongue, even if it is a right thing at the time, you know, just, like, really having that discernment to know that it's not going to do any good to speak that at this time, you know?
And as you say that, it makes me think of the fact that when you don't say something that is good, and you rob someone from a blessing because you know the Lord's telling you to go and share something, and you're like, I don't want to look stupid. Yeah. I don't want them to think I'm weird or whatever. Like, maybe one day I think Sarah's hair looks pretty, and I'm like, oh,
today.
Yeah, one day. Maybe one day.
But, like, I know the Lord's telling me to encourage her, and maybe she needs that in the moment, and I think, oh, I don't want to look weird, so I'm not going to say it. Like, withholding a blessing from someone is also, you know, harming them, because God wanted you to encourage them in a way, and then you chose not to, you know?
I need all the blessings every day.
Yeah.
Along with that, though, it makes me think, too, of just having hard conversations. Like, we don't want to tell hard truths because of how it's going to go across, but sometimes saying hard things like, hey, you didn't do that right, but I love you, and walking through that with somebody is difficult, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, doing it in a way that's kind and loving and that does build them up and not tear them down. Like, you got to say it in a way that's encouraging and loving, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to do sometimes, especially whenever the hard thing was something that hurt you, to share a hurt in a way that's loving and building someone up.
That's why it's usually good to just pump the brakes after an offense and, like, walk it out with your people and the Lord
before you even address it. You know, not making... Like, practice your pause. I had a friend that always would say that, practice your pause, because your initial reaction is going to be fleshly.
Yeah.
But if you practice that pause before you react or deal with the situation, the words are going to come from the Holy Spirit rather than your flesh.
That's good. Yeah, and I'm looking at this. This will bring us into our next point, but it says, a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. And it's just comparing it to a spark that sets an entire forest on fire, and that is means our words are powerful, mm-hmm. right? It's not just no big deal to say something harmful to someone, because like Sarah said, you know, she can still hear words that were spoken over her on the playground when she was a kid, and I know I can too. And so, like, we let them out of our mouth, and we can't get them back in after we let them out of our mouth. Proverbs 18:21 says, the power of life and death mm-hmm. is in the tongue, and which one do we want to bring, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Like, which, you know, which one, each time you open your mouth, can you think about, am I bringing life into this conversation, or am I bringing death?
And I love in the scripture, I don't know if you've passed it or if we've gotten there yet, but when it talks about the horse and how when the bridle is in the horse's mouth, you have control over the horse. And when you stop and think about that, that the horse is a huge animal. If I don't have control over it, he's going to hurt me. But when I'm on the big horse and the bridle is controlled, you have more control than you think. So mm-hmm. My mouth controls my body. Mm-hmm. It controls my actions. And we don't think about that because we've thrown idle words up and hurt and distress. But, I mean, when you think about the horse, I love that in scripture. When I had that explained to me today, I was like, wow, that makes so much sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the next thing it's compared to in that scripture is a ship,
yeah.
and how the rudder will turn it in whichever way. Even though the winds are strong against the ship, that rudder will take the ship, the big ship, where it needs to go. And it really, truly, our words affect the trajectory of our life.
And couldn't you imagine the ship would flop over? I mean, you know what I mean? I'm just imagining not having control of the yeah. ship. Mm-hmm. And
the size of the rudder in comparison to the ship. Like, yeah. it amazes me how something so small can truly change the path and the pattern that something travels. And that's exactly what that verse, Proverbs 18:21, talks about,
yeah.
because our mouth can determine if we get on a track of life or if we get on a track of death, and not only for ourselves but those around us, you know.
Yeah.
I've been talking to my boys about their words a lot, and they're trying to understand how something said can bring life or death, you know. And so for kids it's kind of hard, but it's a fun thing to try to see their brains wrap around, you know. And if we can get it wrapped around their mind at an early age, like Sarah, like you guys were saying, like there's words on the playground, you know. Like, I don't want my boys' words on the playground to be something that someone later on down the road remembers in a negative way,
yeah.
you know. And so it's really important that we set that example. If we have kids in the home, or just, you know, like, we set the tone of wherever we're at, the atmosphere around us, you know, like Sarah said,
right.
our atmosphere changes.
I mean, when you do that with your kids, it gives an opportunity for you to talk about your idle
mm-hmm.
words. I mean, we've all said stuff to
yeah.
our kids that we're like, oh, I wish
mm-hmm.
I could have that back.
Yeah.
yeah.
You know?
And I'll be honest, like, as we start studying this, like, I felt a lot of conviction,
mm-hmm. yeah.
you know, and I'm going to blame it on pregnancy hormones.
you can't blame everything on
pregnancy. I mean, she can for 9 months.
Like,
okay.
It's
so
hard.
Just let her
I'll tell
it.
You what.
Like, I need something to blame. Okay.
I feel like.
You said you felt pregnant, so
I mean,
I guess
I told
just
you
say
that.
It if you want.
I told you you could get pregnant.
No, okay.
No, but, like, hormones are kind of raging through your body, and you get, you know, moody, right? And you get cranky, and I have...
Yeah, you just snapped at me before we started this.
I mean, I'm sorry.
I missed it?
Can I repent for
that?
but, like, the point is, I do feel like I have gotten this, like, kind of moody, negative, like, I'm grumpy a lot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I feel like it has set the tone for my household, and so it's, like, rubbing off on my kids, and they're a little grumpy, or talking back a little more, and I had to sit them down and apologize today as I was preparing for this lesson. Like, I've forgotten for the past, you know, couple months, like, how powerful my words are, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And they're like, well, you can't help it. And I'm like, well.
No,
I mean,
so much for that. I heard a message. I think it was Bill Johnson, or it might have been Chris Valentin. I'm not sure. But they talked about thankfulness. I think it was Bill. And so if the Holy Spirit inhabits the praises and the thankfulness of our heart, who do you think inhabits the complaints?
Yeah,
yeah,
I've heard that
that's
before.
Right.
And that's so powerful, because we complain about the weather one day, or we complain, and those are so minute, but that's exactly what the enemy
wants. And
that's
what he wants, yeah.
He can get in our little grumbling, and then he's got a foothold in our life to
exactly
just
right.
let that thing snowball into something so much bigger, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just as guilty as anybody, you know? Like, I complain about the weather. I complain about if my hair doesn't work the right way, you know what I mean? And it sets my tone for my whole day if my hair doesn't work right, because I've complained about it, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
But, like, there are people... You know, and it's you hear it all the time, but there's people that wish that they had a head full of hair that they could complain
right.
about, you know? And so, like,
yeah.
shame on me for ever being ungrateful
the Israelites,
for what I have.
It makes
yeah.
me think the Israelites. Like, there's, what would their trip have been, 11 days,
mm-hmm.
11 or
yeah.
12 days, and it ended up being 40 years?
Yeah.
I'm like, I have been stuck in the wilderness in some areas in my life, and I know I, you know, like, because of my grumbles.
Well, and I saw a study that talked about how if you wake up in the morning and you talk about how great of a night of sleep you got, then you won't be as tired during your day. And so even just waking up and complaining about, I didn't get any sleep last night, it makes you more tired. Mm-hmm. It makes you feel like, oh, I should be tired today because I keep talking about and thinking about the fact that I didn't get sleep. But if you'll stop and say, thank you, Lord, for the sleep that I got last night, it actually makes you less tired.
That's really cool.
Like, it's a scientific study that's shown that. And I'm like, that is just proving...
The horse. The bit in the mouth.
It's just proving that, like, words are powerful. And I mean, God spoke the world into existence.
Yeah. He could have chose any way to bring the world, like, into existence. You know what I mean? But he chose to spoke. Yeah. He could have thought it, but he chose to speak it. I'm really educated, I promise. He chose to speak it, and I think he did that for us to be able to relate because we're made in his image, right? And he's given us the authority and the power through him that we have that same ability to speak life. Like, that's what he did. He spoke the life, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just know that he did that just for us to have that tangible example of
and
to follow.
Like, on that subject, like, let's talk a little bit about what kind of words Jesus spoke, you know? Because I think that he sets an example. Like, that's what a part of the reason that he came is to, like, be like, I'm fully God and fully man. I experienced the same things as you, and this is how I dealt with them. And so, you know, how did he speak? Like, what kind of words did he speak? And I know that he spoke words of wisdom, you know, like everyone came from all over the world to hear his wisdom and to hear the things that he had to say because he was so wise. What other kinds of words did he speak?
Authoritative, like Ash was just saying. He delivered people. I mean, he rose Lazarus from the dead, and it was just like a...
He commanded demons to leave people.
And if you think about it, every word Jesus used had a meaning. There was no idle words. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, even and the had a meaning, you know? And you stop and think about that, and I'm like, I just talk to talk sometimes. Like, what am I doing?
We all know. We all know that.
We've all experienced that.
Everything that he speaks is out of love.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible says that out of our heart, what does it say? That it'll flow from our heart, right? Whatever's in our heart. And so the words that Jesus spoke came from his heart, and his heart was so good, you know?
Even, you know, the hard things that he spoke, like, you brood of vipers, you know, and just different things.
Like, it felt different. Like, if Jesus was to come and say, you brood of vipers, and then Madison came to me and said, you brood of vipers, I would be mad at Madison, but not Jesus.
But he wasn't afraid to say the hard things when they needed to be said.
Yeah.
And that's powerful, too. You know, like, sometimes people need to be called out, and you know, the hard truths need to be spoken.
But that's when you make sure that your heart's right, because, like, you know, we joke about it, but I know the hearts of all of these girls in this room, and so it's easier to hear those hard conversations when you know the heart of behind it, you know?
Yeah. And I think of in the garden when he was praying that this cup would pass from him, you know, like he was basically begging God to take the suffering away. And, you know, I put myself in his shoes, and I probably would have been, like, complaining to my friends, like, I wish I didn't have to go through this, and they may have talked me out of it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because, like, they're like, I don't want you to have to go through it either. But he went and poured his heart out to God, and then he spoke words of obedience and saying, but not my will, but yours be done. And so that was another thing. Like, he spoke words of obedience.
Mm-hmm. Obedience, yeah, and those very words saved our lives.
Yeah.
Because they were obedient.
Yep.
You know, when you think about it, it's with our words we can reveal his purpose or we can alter it. And I think about, like, the prophecy or the dream with your dad, and we decided then that we could change it, and I believe we can, you know, because we're either revealing his purpose or we're altering it in a bad way, or we can alter it in good ways, I think, too. Like, if something's prophesied, like, with your dad's accident or whatever, and we prayed against it, and he, you know, he was unharmed in the accident.
Yeah. Whenever I was studying for this today, I thought about that, and I thought about Solomon. And so, we all know that Solomon asked for wisdom, right? Well, I went back and read, and in 1 Kings 2:9, it says, David, right before he dies, he tells Solomon, you know, he's telling him all these things, and he says, you are a man of wisdom, is what he tells his son Solomon. And then, you go on to the next chapter, and Solomon asked God for wisdom. So that made, like, that really stuck out to me. And it made me think, like, whenever we talk to other people or we talk to our kids, the things that we speak over them,
are things they are going to speak to mm-hmm. one day. Mm-hmm. So, like, if I'm with my kids and I'm talking to them, if I'm saying things that are life-giving, then one day they're going to ask for life-giving things or they're going to speak life-giving things. Same thing if they're negative. If I'm speaking to my kids just with words of death, then they're going to speak those words or they're going to ask for those words one day. Their actions are going to show them. So I never realized that before, that David, he said to Solomon before God even gave him wisdom, he said, "You are a man of wisdom." Yeah. And then later he asked God for wisdom and he gave it to him. So I thought that was really cool.
That's a good word. And on top of that, like, that's something that David has spoken into Solomon, but our kids also pick up on what we say about ourselves,
right?
You know, mm-hmm. and when we look in the mirror, if we're always like, "No, don't take a picture of me because I don't like how I look" or whatever, they're going to end up saying those same things about yeah. themselves, you know? And yeah. like, I know people constantly tell Mia how much she looks like me mm-hmm. all the time. Like, you're basically twins. And if I'm sitting there being like, "Oh, I hate my hair," or mm-hmm. I don't like the way I look, what is that saying about yeah. her? Everyone says yeah. that we look alike, you know what yeah. I mean? And so we have to be careful about those kinds of things, like, that we say about ourselves, not just about our kids.
Mm-hmm. Going back to, like, you talking about a friend could have talked you out of it, I think of Zechariah with Gabriel. Gabriel himself said, "I have to keep him quiet or he's going to ruin God's plan."
Yeah. Right. And that's where, like, you hear all the time, people say, "Well, if it's God's will, it'll be done." And that's not true.
Right.
If that yeah. was true, we would still be living in Eden. So, I mean, I know he put us on this earth to co-labor with him. Bill Johnson talks about that a lot, too. But what things are we not activating that is in his will because of what we don't speak?
Right.
You know what I mean? So our prayers, I believe, are activated. Like with Solomon, his request of wisdom activated the wisdom. And then all of these other blessings came behind that. And it's the same thing with us. What we pray activates his will. And what we don't pray, I think he's just waiting for us to pray some things to activate them.
I love that you brought that up because, okay, so side note, I go to a breakfast club meeting every week, and I love my breakfast.
We're not invited to it, but
this is a shout out to my breakfast clubbers, if you're listening.
I hope I get invited someday.
But it's just this, it's, you're invited. It's this,
it's
really
a very exclusive breakfast club.
It's a meeting of like older women, and they graciously invite me to come.
Because she's geriatric.
Makes
now.
Sense. Makes sense.
It's why us young pups don't get invited.
Okay.
You led yourself right into
awesome. Okay, guys, sorry. I don't know if you know this, but the power of life and death is in the tongue.
Oh, shoot.
And you're not really speaking life.
She's leaving this part in.
Yeah.
You're going to edit the one before that.
No. Anyway, so my breakfast club, there's a lady in my breakfast club who made a Facebook post recently, and she was talking about how, like, she's very visionary, and she was praying one day, and she was sitting in her chair praying, and God gave her a vision of, as she was praying, like, these silver strands were coming out of her mouth, and it was like she knew that her words were going to the places that she was praying for. And I just thought that was such a cool vision. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. when we pray, our prayers aren't just going up to the ceiling and bouncing off and don't have an effect. They put things into motion. Yeah. They send heaven to fight on our behalf. Whenever we start speaking those prayers out, things happen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so good. I've been reading this book, Unless We Pray, and I think we should do a podcast on prayer because it's just really come alive to me. And it sounds so silly because praying is something we learn at such a young age, right? Mm-hmm. You know? Just today I read that two of the most powerful forces on this planet are prayerfulness and prayerlessness. Both are super dynamic because just like Madison said, whenever a person minimizes prayer, it literally suspends the will of God and it restricts the hand of God when we don't pray. And so there's so much power in our prayers, but there's also so much power for the enemy when we don't pray. Like, mm-hmm. it gives him mm-hmm. the advantage when we don't pray, and he knows that. That's why he wants everybody to minimize the power of prayer, because if he can silence prayer, then he's basically silenced the Christian, you know, like that's our biggest weapon. And
that's a good word.
Yeah. It's just really cool to think about. Just kind of goes along with the first word, that our words are powerful, but also what we don't say is also just yeah. as powerful on yeah. the opposite the spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. And so this will kind of head into our next point. The last part of the verse says people can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. Mm. And so just the idea that our tongues aren't stable, like, we're not good at controlling them. No man can control them. That's what that scripture says. And And when I first read that immediately, like, I'm discouraged because I'm like, if I can't control my tongue, like, it almost gives you an excuse to not even try, right? Yeah. But so, like, what's the answer to that, guys? Like, we can't tame the tongue. What do we need?
The Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, that's a fruit. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We need to be connected to the vine in order for that. Like, that last part of the verse talked about, the fruit that a fig tree doesn't produce olives. Mm-hmm. And we know from John 15 that, like, it talks about how I remain in you and you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Mm-hmm. And so apart from him, we're not going to be able to control the things that we say. We have to be connected to the vine and filled with the Holy Spirit in order to have that self-control. And then I also think of Luke 6:45. And Luke 6:45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored in his heart. For the human mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Mm-hmm. And so, like, what are we filling ourselves with? Like, what do we have stored up in our heart? Do we have the word of God stored up in our heart? Or do we have things of the world stored up in our heart?
I love that you did those back to back, because it says no man can tame their tongue, and then what the heart reveals. So we need the Holy Spirit, but there's also not condemnation with it either. Like, if I speak an idle word, he is going to love me back to meaningful words, right? Yeah. And then if I need correction in my heart, he's going to do that, yeah. You know?
I mean, I will say, like, I've always been really big on the, like, the vine and the branches, like, that scripture has always been really important to me, because I talk all the time about how important it is to have a quiet time, and I was really reminded of that because during the first part of this pregnancy, I, like, literally felt like I had the flu for, like, 8 weeks straight, maybe 9 weeks, like, sick to where I couldn't even leave the house, basically, and I couldn't read, because whenever I would sit down to read, I would get nauseous and I would throw up, and, you know, like, it was just a really difficult time for me, and I, like, didn't take time in the scripture, you know, like, I would normally spend a quiet time every day, and I was just like, I would turn it on, push play on my Bible app, but I'm not an auditory learner, I'm a visual learner, and so it didn't get in me like the way that I wanted it to, and I really struggled with my attitude and with my heart during that time, because I wasn't connected to the vine the way that I normally would be, and it reminded me so much about how much I rely on the Holy Spirit. Like, I'm just not good without him. Mm-hmm. You know, our heart is deceitful above all else, and the only reason that it's good is because the Holy Spirit is inside of us.
Yeah. So those scriptures can be comforting at the same time too.
Yeah.
No, like, I can't do this on my own, so why am I trying? Why am I trying to tame my tongue?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, like, from that scripture, the Luke 6:45 scripture, that the what we say begins with our thought life. You know, if we're not taking thoughts captive, and I want you to think about something for a minute. One day you're sitting there and you're like, your house is fine, your kids are fine, your husband's fine, your car is fine, everything's fine. And then you get out social media and you start scrolling, and all of a sudden, well, their house is better, their car is better, their husband is nicer, their kids are more well-behaved. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, we have a discontentment with what we have.
Yeah.
Because our thoughts are going to, well, I don't have what they have. Or
and
their house.
Who's inhabiting those thoughts at that moment?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, social media breeds that discontentment. And I feel like the remedy to that is gratitude. Mm-hmm. Because if instead of looking at, well, theirs is better, theirs is better, theirs is better, if we're like, thank you, God, for my house.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, for my car. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my kids. Then all of a sudden, we're content with what we have.
Mm-hmm.
And that gratitude is going to bring a contentment that we'll never have scrolling through social media.
Yeah, then you start to like your husband and kids.
That's funny.
Just kidding. I like Michael. And I like
and
my kids.
Nugget.
And
the boys.
And the boys. I like them all a lot.
I think we should end today with a challenge, and the challenge is about, like, we're coming into the month of November, like, you'll, whenever they're hearing this will be November, and that's the month of Thanksgiving, and so what if we spent the month of November being grateful, you know, and seeing how that changes our trajectory, basically,
mm-hmm.
like, is that a rudder that's going to help us go the way that we want to go by taking 5 minutes aside in the day and writing down and saying out loud a couple things that we're grateful for. Maybe it's one thing, like set your goal. Like maybe you want to say one thing you're thankful for, or maybe it's more public and you want to go tell somebody that what you're grateful for about them. You know what I mean? An encouraging word to someone else. But like how this month can we use our words to build up, to encourage, and to be grateful for what we have.
You want to start now? You want to tell me something encouraging?
Sarah, I'm so grateful for the wisdom and the joy that you bring to our podcast.
Did you hear that? Thank you, Jill.
Yeah. Does it feel better that, or does it feel worse that you like spurred on
the album? Like asked for it?
Yeah, asked for it. Just wondering.
Doesn't feel
And I like how you said that we should take it captive, because just like any other, well, when it comes about the way we look, you know, we immediately take those thoughts and we replace it with what the word says about us. And I think that we should do that with our grumbling. Immediately take it captive. And if we find ourselves grumbling about our home, immediately replace it with something, a blessing about our home. And I think that will in turn, like you said, change our trajectory, but also create a habit to where we're not grumbling, but instead we look for the blessings.
Or if you have like a negative thought about someone, like, okay, how can I encourage that person right now?
Yeah.
Like, how can I reach out and say something kind about them? Because a lot of times when we're struggling with someone, like, we don't even know what's
the whole story,
what their life is like. You know what I mean? We don't know what they're going through. Yeah. And maybe that little bit of encouragement that you give them softens your heart towards them in a way that now maybe they'll open up and you'll see a bigger picture of what's going on in their life that caused them to treat you that way or to act that way, you know?
And we have to know that the enemy is trying to divide. Yeah. He's trying to cause disunity. And it, in my commentary, it talks about that Satan uses the tongue to divide people and pit them against one another. So we know that's his scheme. Mm-hmm. So we shouldn't be surprised if that shows up, because he's constantly at work trying to do that. But if we recognize it, and just like you said, then literally throw Satan in the dirt by replacing it with something positive about that person. Like, he has no victory in our friendships, in our relationships, you know?
Amen.
And when you start to pay attention to how much you grumble, you'll be amazed, really. We did a hair tie challenge where we put the hair tie on our wrist, and every time I would think a negative thought or say a negative thought, I would switch it. I mean, by 9 a.m., I'm like, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hurting my wrist.
And you know? I think if we're honest, that every single person needs to repent of idle words.
Oh, yeah.
We all have idle words every day that we've spoken, because our tongues are so hard. Yeah. Like, they're impossible to tame, right? And so I think that that's a good daily practice, too, to ask God, show me the things. Because sometimes we say it and we don't even know.
Yeah.
We don't even notice because we're so used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so asking God, show me the things that I spoke today that weren't pleasing to you, that didn't build up, that tore down instead, that brought death, you know. And help me, Lord, to know how to bring life to that situation and repent of it. I mean, I think that that's powerful, too.
Yeah.
Well, it was a good episode of convicting for me.
Yeah.
Studying this brought a lot of conviction to me. But there's grace. If you're feeling a little convicted or a little down because of this episode, there's grace. There's always grace. His grace is sufficient for all of it.
And conviction is good.
Yeah, it is.
Like,
it's good. It's the
kindness. I literally feel the Lord, like, pull me in whenever I feel convicted, you
it's
know?
His kindness that leads us to repentance.
Yeah.
And so there's no judgment. And we just love you all. We're grateful.
Yeah.
Go out and speak life. Be grateful this month as we go into Thanksgiving month. Like, I think it's easy, to skip over Thanksgiving because we're all excited about Christmas. I know. I can't wait.
Thanksgiving's my favorite.
I think it's like 10 days till I get to decorate for Christmas.
Yeah, I'm over fall. I'm ready.
10 days?
Yeah, I'd put it up first. Now if nobody would judge me.
My kids would definitely judge me. November 1st.
I love
They're
going to
judge me on November 1st, too.
I can't skip it. I do love Christmas, but...
But we're not going to skip over Thanksgiving. We're going to be
grateful.
This
is a good time, too, because it is the season of Thanksgiving, and that's what it's known for, but it can also be a hectic time, too.
Yeah.
So it's good to be intentional.
A time when you're
it.
Going to see family that maybe gets under your skin a little bit. Like, but how can we speak life into that, too?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right, well, we love you all. Thank you for listening and for all of your support, and we